The second reading is taken from John chapter 3, verse 27 to verse 36. That's John chapter 3, verse 27 to verse 36. To this, John replied, "A person can receive only what is given them from heaven. You yourselves can testify that I said, 'I am not the Messiah, but I'm sent ahead of him.' The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, I must become less. The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all. He testifies to what he has seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Whoever has accepted it has certified that God is truthful. For the one whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God gives the Spirit without limit. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life. For God's wrath remains on them." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Claire. Thank you, Joe. Well, if you played my little Twitter game earlier, you'll have seen 80 million people followed Donald Trump on Twitter, although it must be pretty galling that Barack Obama has more followers than he does. But far more than the 80 million people who actually subscribe to Donald Trump's tweets are influenced by his words. I imagine most of us pay attention to what Donald Trump says through him being reported on the news and other things. So far beyond America, many, many people pay attention to Donald Trump. And it was slightly interesting, in fact, just on the BBC News last week, how Twitter got into a bit of a row with Trump over some of his particularly more outlandish tweets. But who we pay attention to says a lot about us. Google and Facebook, their advertising algorithms are very powerful. They can really easily tell your age, your gender, the city that you live in, your interests, your ethnicity, all by what you click on to listen to watch, and to read. What you pay attention to says a lot about you. And this morning, I'd like to ask, how much attention do you pay to Jesus Christ? Well, I mean, you're watching a homemade live stream church service, so you probably feel like you're somewhere ahead of most people in this country. Maybe it is you're just tuning in out of curiosity. Well, it's really great to have you. Maybe you're watching this morning and you're someone who's seriously investigating the claims of Jesus Christ, but haven't yet put your trust in him. Maybe you're someone who would say you're following Jesus, you're a Christian. But actually, Jesus' words, if you're totally honest, don't have much of an impact in your life day to day. Or maybe you're someone watching along this morning and Jesus' words are very, very precious to you. Well, wherever you are on that spectrum, this morning we're going to see two reasons why it is vital that we give Jesus our full attention, and also think a little bit about why sometimes we find it so hard to do. If you're following along on the notice sheet, there's some points there that you could follow along. We're firstly going to think about listen to the one from above. Another pop quiz, no slides this time. What do Donald Trump, Lady Gaga, Mother Teresa, and John the Baptist have in common? Any ideas? There's lots they don't have in common. Well, in the words of verse 31, they are from the earth. They belong to the earth. They speak as those from the earth. That they are human and they are finite. They are limited to the here and now, just like we are. I'd love you just to imagine for a moment that all of human history is played out inside one room. It's a room that has no windows and has one locked door. Hopefully your experience of lockdown is a little bit better than that. But we're inside this room, we've got all that we need. It's a vast, vast room. We've got all the resources we need, food and water. Human civilization is developing and going on and goes on for many, many generations. And some of the best human thinkers speculate about what might be outside the room. Now, one group of thinkers suggests there are green goats. There's green goats roaming around outside the room that we can't see and we can't access. But then there are other thinkers who think, actually, no, there are pink pineapples instead. Many pink pineapples outside the room. And in fact, maybe the room itself is a pip of a pineapple. And then a little bit later in history, along come some other thinkers saying, no, everyone's wrong. This room is all there is. There is nothing outside this room. We can't access it. There is nothing there. There might be maybe an infinite series of rooms, but just in this one, intelligent life has happened by chance to develop. But then one day, there is a loud click, and the door is opened from the outside, and in steps a person. Suddenly then, all of our speculation about what might or might not be outside the room has to stop. Here is someone who can definitively tell us, because they step in from the outside. Well, that person is Jesus Christ. That's why we were thinking last week that John says, he must become greater and I must become less. Even John, the great prophet, John the Baptist, even he is earthly and limited. But Jesus has come from the outside. Jesus has stepped down from heaven, and so he is unique. Jesus is the one who can tell us about things that we can't access by our five senses. He's the one who can tell us about heavenly reality that even our best scientific endeavors can't access. He has an authority like no other. He is from heaven, from above, and is over all. Why should we listen to Jesus? Because he's the one who's broken into our reality, stepped down from heaven, to tell us the truth about God and ourselves that we could never know otherwise. Jesus' words are the best news in the world. But tragedy of tragedies, maybe you spotted it in verse 32. He testifies to what he's seen and heard, but no one accepts his testimony. Here is someone from the outside. Here is the man who is God, who has stepped down from heaven. Why on earth would we prefer to listen to our own opinions and ideas and the opinions and ideas of others about God and ourselves when Jesus is in the room? That's crazy, isn't it? Why would we ignore the one who can definitively reveal God to us? It's because the truth about God and about ourselves, well, at first it's uncomfortable before it is wonderful. It's something that we all find hard to accept. We saw this a couple of weeks ago when we saw the wonderful good news of John 3:16, that God so loved the world. But we saw that good news against the bad news of John 3, verse 19. Let me read that. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. That is the black backdrop that shows us just how amazing God's love is. God didn't set his love on the world because the world was deserving. God set his love on the world of people in darkness who are rejecting him, who don't want to know him. God set his love on his enemies. And without Jesus, humanity is in the dark about God, and even in the dark about ourselves. But we like it that way. As James said, we were like wood lice that scurry out from under the stone, trying to find cover because we're exposed. It's why we need to be born again from above, like Jesus said to Nicodemus, that religious teacher who struggled so much to accept what Jesus is saying. And even for those of us who are Christians, we can find Jesus' words hard to accept. Because actually it's so much better, so much nicer anyway, for us to have a positive mental image of ourselves. It's so easy to deny the darkness that is in us, and that comes out in what we think and what we say and what we do. It's so much easier to deceive ourselves and pretend actually that we scrub up really quite okay, thank you very much. Whereas Jesus' words, they knock out our props, they tear off our masks, and they cut right through us. That means if you're reading the Bible, if you're listening to sermons, we'll expect sometimes things to get uncomfortable. Expect to be challenged. Expect the Bible to disagree with you. Because there are plenty of ways in which we'll still be at odds with God and need changing, need correcting, need challenging. Jesus tells us these hard truths. He says these hard things so that we won't rely on anything in us, but will only and always look for a solution to our predicament in the outside from God. It sounds ridiculous when we put it bluntly, but whose words do we prefer? Do we prefer our own words and other people's? Or do we prefer God's words? It's so foolish to build our lives on earthly opinions. Now, this used to really annoy me about news shows. I think they do it a bit less these days, and certainly aren't doing it as much during COVID-19. But there'd be some really important issue that's being talked about, and then you'd cut from the news studio to the reporter on the street. And you'd just be going around interviewing random people on the street. Okay, so here's this really complex issue that I got, really don't think you're going to understand, but what do you think about it? Brilliant, great. Okay, madam, what do you think? And I'm sitting at home going, no, put on an expert. Someone whose job it is to think hard about these things, to understand these things, and even if they don't have the whole answer, can maybe at least shed some light on the issue. If I just wanted to find ignorance, I'd go on social media. It's there in spades. Why would we just trust in random opinions of other people? Well, how much more when it comes to heavenly matters? Jesus is the only one who's come down from heaven and can tell us the truth about God and the truth about ourselves. And so the question is, are you listening? What place do Jesus' words have in your life? What happens when Jesus says something that you don't agree with? Oh, and by the way, when I mean Jesus' words, I don't just mean the New Testament. Jesus himself said that the Old Testament are God's words, those words that testify about him in advance. So really, I mean the whole Bible. Listening to Jesus, it isn't just about accepting God's truth or kind of gaining knowledge in our heads. It's about far, far more. And so secondly, believe in the Son the Father loves. I'm going to think a bit more about verses 35 and 36. The love that a parent has for a child should be a deep, deep bond. It's why it's so painful when that bond is broken. Through neglect, or when that isn't possible through people not being able to have children. The most astonishing thing that Jesus testifies to is that before God loved the world, before God made the world, God the Father loved God the Son. And the Son, the Father, and the Father and Son, the Spirit, and the Spirit, the Father and Son. That in eternity past, at the heart of reality, is perfect love that has existed forever. The very best family relationships that we might enjoy are but specks of sand compared to the Mount Everest of love there is in God at the heart of reality. Now, parents can sometimes be a bit over the top with gifts for their children. I don't know if you know this, but Tom Cruise, for his daughter's 7th birthday, can you guess what he bought her? He spent £3 million on a private jet for a 7-year-old. It was so that she could fly out to wherever he was filming and see him at the time. Well, now, Houghton family, I don't know what you bought for Poppy, but you've got a couple of years to save up if you want to get her something special for her 7th birthday. Well, did you spot the gift that God the Father has given to God the Son? It's there in verse 35. The Father loves the Son and has placed everything in his hands. Now that is an extravagant gift. All of creation, all of salvation has been placed into Jesus' hands. But even that gift doesn't exhaust the love that the Father has for the Son. It is mind-blowing. There are lots of things that physicists don't know. But one thing we do know for definite is that this universe is finite. It doesn't go on forever, even though it is expanding. Well, the love in God is infinite. The love that the Father has for the Son, who the Father who loves perfectly, for his Son who is perfectly lovable. Well, that love is infinite in extent, unlimited in time, boundless in beauty. Or in the words of the Jesus storybook Bible, never stopping, never giving up, always and forever love. Now this is going to cash out for us very really and very concretely shortly. But I just want to reflect on this just a little bit longer. So imagine this is God's love for the world, John 3:16. And this is God's love for his Son, John 3:35. God's love for his Son encompasses his love for the world. His love for his Son came first, and it encompasses his love for the world. You can tell these aren't to scale. But also, since the Father has given everything to his Son and entrusted everything into his hands, then it means that God's love for the world rests on his love for his Son. And that is something that is truly wonderful and astonishing, because it means we are totally, totally secure in God's love. God's love for us doesn't depend on us. God's love for us rests upon the eternal, infinite foundation of God's love for his Son. It means no matter who we are, no matter what we do, God's love for us is eternally secure. Isn't that amazing? Well, now, I could have really just preached a sermon all on verse 36, and maybe by this point you're wishing that I had. But I think verse 36 really doesn't make sense without all that we've just thought about. Do you get how big a deal Jesus is? If you're nodding and saying yes, no, think bigger. Always think bigger. He's the unique one who's come from heaven, not earth. He's the eternal Son who has always enjoyed the infinite love of his Father. Creation itself is just the overflow of their love and the gift of Father to Son. Now we're ready to think a bit more about verse 36. Let me read it again. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. God's call is to believe in his Son and to receive life, to receive eternal life. And to do otherwise is to receive God's wrath. It's not just about knowledge, like I said, it's about life and death. Matters of eternal importance. Now that Jesus has stepped into the room, it's a choice for all of us. Accept Jesus, trust Jesus, believe in Jesus, or reject him. Refuse to listen to his words. They are the only two options. It's a binary choice, and we can find that so hard. We live in a multicultural world, and as we look around, it doesn't feel like it's Jesus or nothing. There are many things that vie for our attention. Other religions, Jesus or Allah, Jesus or Buddha. But particularly in the West, many other things as well. Jesus or money, Jesus or success, Jesus or popularity, Jesus or a nice quiet retirement, Jesus or almost anything else. It doesn't feel to us just like a binary choice, because like there's Jesus and there's lots of other things that call for our attention. This kind of choice is really mocked in a famous sketch by Julian Clary, I don't know if you've seen it, called Cake or Death. There's a sweet vicar going round a tea party and going up to people, cake or death? Would you like cake or death? It's really saying that the choice is narrow, manipulative, and therefore wrong. And what about the person who says, well, you know, I'm just living the best life that I can. I'm doing the best I can by other people. I've tried not to hurt too many people. Is God really going to not let me into his kingdom for all the good that I've done? Just because I'm not following his Son like one of those Christians? Surely that's narrow. Surely that's unfair. Surely that's unjust. And well, you know, let's not get started on wrath. That's all barbaric and uncivilized, isn't it? Well, if any of that does describe some of the things that you think, can I say respectfully that you haven't yet fully understood Jesus? Jesus, the Son, who the Father loves, who's put everything into his hands. He holds you even, your life and your breath, every moment in his hands. He's the one that the Father calls everyone, everywhere, to believe and trust in. Eternal life is only found in Jesus because he's the God who made us and sustains us. He's the one who took on flesh to come down and die for us, the one who is lifted up on the cross in our place. Eternal life is only found in Jesus because eternal life itself is enjoying relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit forever. And far from being narrow, there's a whole world of room in that word, whoever. Whoever believes. Anyone can come in, no matter who they are, no matter their background, their status, their family, their job. No matter who you are, you can be included in that whoever. All that God asks is that you put your trust in Jesus, that you put your hand in his. That's what it is to believe in him. And there are no other conditions, no small print. They are the only terms. Come to Jesus, trust in him, and let his words rule your life, not other people's. Not even your own. And if that doesn't sound like the best news ever, well, then we need to hear about the other side of the choice. That was there in verse 36, which says that if you haven't yet responded to God's call to everyone everywhere to believe in his Son, then God's wrath remains on you. This verse says that if you're not believing in the Son, then you're rejecting him. And if you continue to do that, the opposite isn't just death, but is God's wrath. God's wrath is his goodness and his justice in reaction to everything that is wrong. It's not like my anger, which is often fitful and unpredictable. just and fair and good. And so if you're not yet trusting Jesus, can I urge you to flee to Jesus from God's wrath? Because the Bible says that when you die, if you don't trust Jesus, then facing God's wrath is known as a place called hell. In John 3:16, it talks about perishing. But anyone can avoid that. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life and can know that they have it right now. So if that's you, please, can I urge you to put your trust in Jesus? Even right now, to pray to God, to talk to him about it, and to accept Jesus. And if you're not yet ready to do that, well then please get in touch or talk to a Christian friend or family member. Come on our Christianity Explore course. We'd love to answer your questions and to help you meet the Lord Jesus walking off the pages of Mark's Gospel. And if you're watching this as someone who already trusts Jesus, who already believes in him, which I guess might be most people who are watching along at home, well, this week, how about you learn John 3:36? Why don't you try committing it to memory? You might already know John 3:16. Well, why not learn John 3:36? It's another great reminder of the gospel by which we're saved. It's a great reminder of the motivation to be sharing Jesus with other people. That as we meet people, as we speak with people, as we speak of Jesus, God is holding out the offer of eternal life, freely given in his Son. His Son whom he loves more than anything else. His Son who came to die to make that offer possible. Why don't you have a go memorizing that verse? May God use it to embolden you to speak with friends and family members and to rejoice yourself in the eternal life that Jesus has won for us. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that your love for us is secure in him. We thank you that he came into our world to break in, to reveal you to us, to show us what we're like, and to die for us so that we might have eternal life, that we might know and enjoy you and him and your Spirit forever. Please would you bring many, many more people to share in this eternal life that we have. And we ask for his name's sake. Amen.
Amen.